Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him. Thus far, our text. Could you imagine being a fly on the wall of that house when Abram goes to his wife Sarai and says, "So, we're going to go on a trip." No problem, right? No big deal. And of course, there is no problem yet because they're just going on a trip. But then Sarai would, of course, reply, "Okay, sure. When are we leaving? How long will we be gone?" And then Abram would say, "Well, we're going to leave right now. And we're going to be gone for ever. So you might want to say goodbye to your family and give them a hug and a kiss and bid all of your friends farewell, because you'll probably never see them again." That's a hard conversation. And just, you know, even if she goes along with it, right? Even if she's okay with it to this point, she would no doubt have to ask the question, "Well, where are we going?" To which Abram would then have to reply, "I don't really know. But God's going to show me. We'll just live in a tent until we find it." I don't know about you guys, but my spouse would not be on board with that. That just wouldn't work out in my household. The situation seems entirely impossible to our understanding. Why would anyone ever do this? And if it seems like a big deal to us today to have to leave behind everything we know and travel off to a distant land that we don't even know what it's called yet, imagine how much more difficult this would have been like 4,000 years ago, when travel was dangerous and we didn't have cars or airplanes and everything had to happen on foot. It would have been even more difficult, as you don't know what kind of tragedy might befall you while you're on the road. Yet even though this would have been a difficult thing for them to do, they still did it. Why? What gives them this ability to do something that we could never imagine ourselves doing? Well, if we're going to go based on God's word, the only indication we really get is because God told them to. God came to them and told them to go, and then they went. And he made a promise of blessing. Right, so to this point, you know, it's 75 years old for Abram and 65 years for his wife Sarai, and they haven't quite yet had a baby because Sarai is barren. You know, maybe this promise of a family, of a great nation that would come from their own union would be enticing enough for them to go. But either way, it's still a word and a promise. Because quite honestly, there is nothing that God does to accompany this word. At least not from our text. There's no proof that he gives to Abram. None. None at all. There's no display of power, no miracle, nothing. Abram simply believes the promise of God. And so he packs up his wife and his stuff and he goes. It's no wonder that Abram is called the father of the faith. But there's more than just great faith going on here. See, in Abram, the grace of God is shown clearly. Because really, Abram wasn't special. In fact, we find out from the book of Joshua that Abram's family were actually unbelievers. We like to consider that Abram, you know, had great faith even before God came to him, or somehow, you know, worshipped the Lord God that we know before this time in Genesis 12. But it's not true. It says that the people beyond the rivers, the people who are in Haran and Ur, they worshipped false gods. They served other gods rather than the one true God. And so when Abram is called from the land of Ur, the land of Haran, into Canaan, there's really no reason he should believe that this God he's never met before, never known before, would somehow actually do what he has promised. God's word is the effective means here. And what it does is it takes Abram from an unbeliever and makes him into a believer. That's what the word does. And due to that faith, the ungodly Abram is justified. That means counted as innocent and righteous in God's sight. And it's a good thing that Abram actually does believe God, because one of the promises that God gives to Abram is that the whole world will be better off, that all families of the earth are going to be blessed because of Abram. And of course, we know how this all ends up, because Jesus comes from the blood of Abram. Jesus comes from the family of Abram. And we know the Old Testament figures, right? We have Abram and Isaac and Jacob and Judah, who ends up being the son of promise from Jacob. And we get Boaz, and then we get David. And then, you know, we can go on down the line through all these Old Testament figures. And finally, we see the blood of Abram flowing in our Savior. What does Jesus do with the blood of Abram? What does Jesus do with his fabulous sort of heritage here? Well, of course, he sheds his blood. He pours his blood out of his body as he suffers and dies on the cross. He sheds his blood for your sin and my sin, and it pours out of his head, and it pours out of his hands, and it pours out of his feet, and it pours out of his side. It pours out of his entire body to cover over the sins of the whole world. And so indeed, through Abram's family, the whole world is much, much better off, and that includes you. And even at the crucifixion, Jesus isn't done with Abram's blood. You want to be in Abram's family tree? You want to have the blood of Abram within you? Well, you've come to the right place, because today is the perfect opportunity for that to happen. Abram's blood will be on the altar, because Jesus' blood is on the altar. Jesus not only dies, but he comes back to life that he might continually pour his blood into you. That way you can have forgiveness and life and salvation. That's a wonderful promise, isn't it? Here's the problem. How do you know for sure? Could you imagine, you know, being a fly on the wall when you have a conversation with someone else and you say, "Yeah, I believe on Sunday we go and we eat Jesus' body and we drink his blood." Well, how can that be? I don't know. But God's word said it. Imagine being in a room when you tell someone that you think a little bit of water that gets poured on your head will give you the Spirit of God when it is combined with God's word, and that the heavens will be torn open for you. Prove it. And you can't. It's just like Abram and Sarai. What proof do you have that any of the promises of God are actually real? You've got none. You've got zero. Anybody ever seen a miracle take place before their eyes? Other than that which happens in the Lord's Supper and baptism? I haven't. Have you ever seen one of God's displays of power? I haven't. So why in the world would you ever believe anything that has come to you through God's word? Well, I think you know the answer. It's faith. It's because you are so much more like Abram than you realize. You have faith in these promises simply because you recognize that God spoke them to you. You can't prove it, and you can't test it, but you know it, and you believe it anyway. And it's the grace of God. It's faith. It's faith, and in fact, in Scripture, we get this definition for faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. It means we believe it even though there is no proof. simply because we hear God's word and we know it to be true. And just like Abram, you are blessed for it. Blessed in so many ways. So my friends, instead of traveling to a foreign land, like Abram did, you get the gospel that opens your eyes of faith and fixes them on your Savior. And in knowing who Jesus is as the crucified and risen one, you are blessed because your sins have been forgiven, because your misdeeds have been wiped away, because your evil thoughts have been overcome and your idle words have been undone. He takes away everything. And in that moment, the ungodly unbeliever becomes a godly person of faith. That's what the Lord has in store for you. So my friends, this day, through the season of Lent, every day of your life, hear the word of God and believe it, because it is the power of God to bless you, both now and into all eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.